this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 52. And guess what? I'm down to 25 milligrams of Zoloft. Woohoo! It is the end of November 2017, and I started the new year weaning from 150 milligrams down to 25 at last. I think my journey, please don't hear me and say, like, holy shit, it's going to take me a year to wean off Zoloft. Well, holy shit, it's taking me a year to wean off Zoloft. But some of you, it might take 5 years. Some of you, it might take 5 days. I don't know. We're all wired differently, and we have different body chemistry and different, you know, stuff going on in our life. So I did wean off Zoloft very rapidly when I found out I was pregnant with Julian. I mean, one day I was on Zoloft and the next day, not. And that was fun. And by fun, I mean hell. But it was a very brief hell. And Nathan has observed that maybe it would have been better for me to just go cold turkey and have had, like, just dealt with all the feelings. And I can see the point rather than go through this whole really slow, long process. But I'm glad I've done it this way. I could have had a depression relapse, and that would not have been worth it. I could have had an anxiety relapse. I could have, and before when I went off Zoloft cold turkey, I went off Zoloft, but I started Buspar. And also I was pregnant. So I had, even though pregnancy destroys me in terms of nausea and constipation and gaining an ass shit ton of weight, pregnancy does still create these feel good kind of calm hormones for me. So, you know, all that stuff was going on. Plus just the excitement of being pregnant because, like, I wanted to be pregnant and we got pregnant. I got pregnant right away. I hate the we. We're pregnant. No, I was pregnant. But, you know, the excitement of getting pregnant so quickly and having everything working out the way I wanted it to, and so it was different circumstances. So who knows what would have happened if I went off cold turkey. I'm glad it's been a process. I've learned a lot. It's really forced me to pay attention to myself, to my menstrual cycles, just to see, because I was for a while having diabolical PMS, and that's gone away. But it's really attuned me to my body. For example, I ovulated today, and oh my gosh, there's a word. Let me see if I can look it up. There's a German word for the pain of ovulation. German word, ovulation, just bear with me. Okay, it's called, like, Mittelschmerz. That's just so German. It's the German words for middle and pain. Mittelschmerz. I totally get that. And it's like, it hits with zero warning, and it feels like my insides are being destroyed, and like an atomic bomb has gone off. And I was out today with Julian, and it was just like I wanted to go over to him and be like, mommy's having Mittelschmerz and we have to go now. We were at an indoor playground, but he's 2 and he does not give a shit about Mittelschmerz. And so I just had to, like, sit there with the pain and move with it. And I briefly considered, we were out, so I didn't have access to Motrin, and I had Julian's painkiller with me because he's been teething. And I was like, could I, like, double or triple down on children's Tylenol? Is that appropriate to just drain my kid's bottle? And then maybe he's going to teeth, and it's like, too bad mommy took it for her Mittelschmerz. Yes, I'm going to say that word as many times as I can in the next few minutes until I move on to another topic. All right? Okay? Mittelschmerz. So, yeah, I've just become really aware of my body. I'm grateful for this process, but I'm also really excited that I've gone from 50 milligrams of Zoloft to 25. Before, whenever I was transitioning, I've been moving down in, like, 25 milligram steps, but it was usually, like, you know, 150 every 2 days and 125 the third day, and do that for a week or two, and then do every other day. And then, so this time, it was just 50 milligrams one day, 25 the next day. I happened to see my my psychiatrist on day five of my period. So I just started on day one of the new cycle. And we didn't plan it that way. She didn't care really anyway. And she thought that there's a threshold. And that for me, the threshold is up at like 100. And having gotten past that threshold, she thought the Zoloft wasn't having the effect on me that it was, you know, that I can take 25 milligrams of Zoloft and it just doesn't affect me, or 50 milligrams, that I need 100 sometimes and sometimes 150. But having gotten below that threshold, my body had readjusted and could actually not really care. And that's what happened. I mean, I went from 50 to 25. The first day I was supposed to take 25, I just completely forgot to take my dose. And then the next day I took 25, and that's been about 10 days. And I've had zero, I haven't had zero symptoms. The first few days I made the drop, I felt glorious, radiant, effervescent. I just had like extra energy. It felt so good to get that extra 25 out of my system. And maybe I was just set to have a few really good days and it was just a coincidence. I don't know. But I haven't had any bad symptoms, and I did have a few days where I just felt intensely radiant and awesome. So I'm supposed to do 25 milligrams every day for a month, and I'm 10 days into it. So after my next menstrual cycle, give or take a couple days, I will be then going to 12.5 every day, and then for a week. And then it's a week of 12.5 every other day, and then I'm off. So I'm going to be done around the new year. Oh my gosh, so excited. So I will get to start 2018 Zoloft free. I'm glad I took Zoloft. I wouldn't go back and change really anything I've done in terms of medications, because it's been what I needed to get to where I am. But right now, I don't need it anymore. So I'm excited to be done with it. And just to feel, I think I've been holding on to a lot of the pregnancy weight, my body. It's been tough to lose weight. I think I will be able to lose more weight off when I'm off antidepressants completely. So one thing that I've been doing is exercising more. My doctor asked me if I was doing cardio. It's like, well, I have a Fitbit and I'm doing 10,000 steps a day, which is exercise, but I wasn't ever getting my heart rate up really high. I was doing Zumba a lot, and then I was doing Zumba a little, and then I stopped doing Zumba a couple months ago. It wasn't my fault. The schedules changed at my gym, and it went from, you know, really awesome teachers available every day to all of my favorite teachers gone and my least favorite teacher taking over all their slots, and Zumba becoming like a chore, a hassle, instead of something that was fun. So rather than replace the cardio, I just sort of slid into this Fitbit phase. But now for like the past 10 days, I've been very conscientious about needing cardio and needing to get my heart rate up. And some days I go to the gym. I hadn't been to the gym in ages. It's nice to be going back to the gym. And I like the Stairmaster, not the ones where your feet are, they're these steppers that are at my gym that are like 6 feet off the ground. And you're actually on like a treadmill of steps and your feet are leaving. And I always feel like I'm going to trip and fall and die on those things. I'm on the ground with that machine that's like an elliptical, except it's a stepper and you're going up and down. And I can just get such good cardio going. I do intervals. I started like doing whatever I could, and which wasn't much. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I just did 8 minutes of cardio. Woohoo, I'm going to die. But now I'm up to like a half hour, and I do a minute at what feels like a really hard intensity for me. And then I do a minute at an easy intensity, and I flip flop back and forth between it. And sometimes I push the intensity, the hard intensity, a little harder, but I keep 160 heart rate as my goal. And that's something my first psychiatrist mentioned. He's like, you just have to hit that 160 mark every day, and that helps fight off depression. I don't know, you know, back then when he told me that, he didn't know how long he had to be there. It just seemed like he had to hit that mark. So I don't know if it's actually like you need to stay there for a minute or 10 or just 5 seconds. I don't know. It's just a mark I try to reach, because when I hit 160, I'm breathing hard. I'm definitely getting cardio. Back of my hair is getting all sweaty. Armpits getting sweaty. Feeling good. And man, I'm doing the cardio and I do feel really good when it's done. I feel, you know, the endorphins going, and it's like, okay, I do need this. This is helping me. And I don't want to need the Zoloft. And if I need it again at some point in my life, then I'll take it. I don't want to be a martyr. I don't want to jeopardize my mental health because I don't want to take a medication, but at the same time, if all I have to do is exercise, then that's what I want to do. I'd rather take the time to exercise than take a medication that could make me gain weight and could negatively affect my health. So doing a lot of the gym and also doing exercise DVDs at home, which are all dorky dance DVDs, and maybe I'll write a little blurb about that someday. A list. There, that's the word. I was struggling to find the word list. I was trying to find the word, and seriously, my blank brain just went blank. Which is not something that happens when I try to meditate, but when I'm trying to find a really basic word like list, whew, just silence in my head. Silence. Okay, so we've talked weaning, we've talked middle schmersh, we've talked exercise, and I want to tell you about interviews. Don't have any scheduled, but I have emailed a couple people right before doing this, and I am excited and ready to get back to doing interviews. Seriously, like a few days ago, I wasn't ready, and now the moment has arrived. And now that I'm ready, I'm just annoyed that I don't have any scheduled. And ew, as I'm talking to you, I'm sitting at the kitchen table, Julian's napping, Nathan bought Hostess cupcakes over the weekend, and there's like all of this leftover Hostess cupcake cream in front of Julian's seat. Oh, it's nasty. Okay. Well, it's better than like what I thought it was. You know, snot. Everything is snot these days. So, you know, not to get off on a tangent, but there's that movie, The Sixth Sense. And who was that kid actor? Haley something something would say, "I see dead people." I just feel like it's like I touch strange things. You know, I don't know why "I see dead people" in my mind was connected to motherhood in some way. I had this moment at the mall and I thought of it and it was really funny, but now I'm here trying to relate the humor to you and it's just not working. It just feels like the things I have touched, like it's usually the things you've seen. You've gone out there, you've seen horrible things in war, but it's not so much that I've seen things, it's the things I've touched. The snot, the, you know, I'm not going to get going because some of you might be eating, so sorry. But back to interviews. So I've emailed a couple of you so far. If I haven't emailed you yet, that's not you. It's me. I'm just doing this slowly because I've been actually meaning to try to schedule these for a couple weeks, but I'm always like, oh, I don't have time to email the 20 people I want to email. So I'm just not going to do it. And it's like, you know what? I'm never going to have that moment where I'm like, yeah, I have 6 hours to sit down and compose thoughtful emails and like look at my schedule. No. I'm just going to email like 2 people at a time. So if you are excited and ready to be interviewed and I haven't emailed you yet, just email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. If you've emailed me before and I haven't gotten to you yet, just email me again. I will try to get to you, you know, sooner rather than later with my emails, but I'm not offended if you send me another email and, you know, send me a little email, kick in the ass. Hey, Courtney, I'm one of the people, remember, who wants to be interviewed. So excited to have more interviews, new stories, follow up with some of you who have shared parts of your stories before and have been continuing your adventures and journeys and would like to share more of your story. So I am very excited in the new year to bring you many, many more interviews because I think our stories are so important. All right, so it's the week after Thanksgiving. It's November 27th. Have I already said that? It's November 27th, 2017, as I record this. And It's the Monday after Thanksgiving. Pippa's back at preschool, and I have done nothing for Christmas yet, and I love it. I mean, I have things that I've bought that will be turned into Christmas presents for the kids, but I mean, I haven't put out the tree. I haven't put out any. I save Pippa's preschool art and bring it out when it's the right season, and today I took down the turkeys and pumpkins and leaves. And I threw some of it out, and I've got to throw out the main trash before she gets home from preschool, because if she sees that I threw out, like, the shitty acorn with, you know, crumpled up tissue paper on it, she will throw a fit. And it's, oh my gosh, there's so many gray squirrels where it's like a teacher cut out the shape of a squirrel and all she did was glue some yarn and make it a bushy tail. And I'm like, I'm just not impressed, okay? I mean, I'm impressed with the preschool. I love that they create all these experiences, but I'm like, I'm sorry. This is not something that's going in the basement and being saved in the art folder, okay? You put some shitty yarn on a pre-cut squirrel, and then you got some eyeball stickers, and you take stuck the eyeball stickers where eyeballs go. Okay? I mean, you didn't even like put the eyeball where the butt goes because that's kind of funny, and I would maybe keep it then as a haha, Pippa thought the eyeball went where the butt goes. So she's great. I love Pippa's art. She's like drawing these really like right here I have this picture on the table that she drew before school, and it's like I think it's Tafiti as a lava monster from Moana. And she's been doing a lot of Moana stuff and drawing it way better than I can. And I love her art, but I can't save all of it. And I'm certainly not saving the shitty pre-cut gray squirrel with a bushy tail. Because, like I said, I'm not impressed. But I saved a bunch of pumpkins and some really cool turkeys that have personality. So I had to make the purge when she wasn't here. I gotta remember to get the trash out. I went downstairs, I put away the Thanksgiving crap, and I did not take any of the Christmas stuff upstairs. I have all these Christmas books. I have Christmas CDs. We have a Christmas tree. We have all these decorations. I have all these plans for, like, making some homemade ornaments this year. And I'm excited for all of it. And none of that shit is happening until after December 1st, because that is what's going to work for me. Some of you, God bless you, have already started doing Christmas festivities. I've seen it all over Instagram. God bless you. You've cheered up my Instagram feed. And ew, I touched the Hostess cream by accident. Oh, it's so disgusting. Make it go away. Will I ever have a clean kitchen table again? I just want to sit down and do a podcast recording without getting covered in like 2-day-old Hostess cupcake gunk. Oh my God, my hands forever unclean. Oh. Okay, I'm back. All right, so nothing is up for Christmas yet. Yeah, Julian is kind of like crazy, as you've probably gathered if you've listened to more than one episode, and I'm not really excited to have a tree up that he's going to knock down. So, and of course he's going to knock it down. And Nathan was telling me, when he knocks it down, will you take a picture? I'm like, he'll be under the tree. How can I take a picture? And he's like, he's going to be fine. Just take a picture before you let him out from under the tree. So it's like, we'll see. If he's crying, I won't, but maybe if he's not crying, I'll get a picture of it. So, I haven't done any of that. I love my neighbors who have put up their Christmas lights and have started the excitement. So I can take walks in the neighborhood with my kids and we can be walking at 5 just as it's getting dark and admire the lights. And it doesn't feel, I love this month of the year when you can be out walking at dark and it doesn't feel like you're about to be murdered or mauled by a bear, because we do live by the mountains and my parents once saw a brown bear a block from my house. It did happen. And it was, my neighbors were all, we have like a, do you use the Nextdoor app? We're on Nextdoor for our neighborhood, and they were all posting about it. So it's not that my parents both hallucinated simultaneously and saw a bear. No, there was a bear a block from my house. But somehow you put the Christmas lights up, and I'm not worried about a bear wandering around my neighborhood. I don't know. Maybe I'm being lulled into a false sense of security. Maybe a bear is going to maul me. But I don't think it's going to happen this month. But I'm glad I'm giving myself the space to be in between holidays because, we had Halloween, and I love Halloween, but it's like a month-long festivity these days. Then we had Julian's birthday, and then it was a really fast descent into Thanksgiving this year because it was almost as early as it could be because the first Thursday was on the second. And Pippa has the whole week of Thanksgiving off school, and there was a field trip, and we went to the grocery store to buy ingredients. It's like this annual tradition with the preschool. So that's one morning that's weird. And then they have stone soup, and they make the stone soup and, learn about like putting all the ingredients and coming together as a community. And we have a potluck. So that was another weird day where I'm at preschool. So it was, and then there was Veterans Day. I don't know. It just felt like a really fast month. Like one second it was Halloween, and then suddenly, like, open my eyes and it's Thanksgiving. I need like a pause before I jump into Christmas, before I jump into like, okay, let's go see Christmas lights and let's go look at Santa at the mall, because my kids are not going to get on Santa's lap. Pippa said she is. Maybe she will. I just don't think it's going to happen. That's my prediction, but she says it will. So, we'll see. I'll report back. Before I talk about anything more, I do want to let you know that I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of recordings this month. If I get some interviews scheduled in the next couple of weeks, I'll re just release the interviews as they come, because I don't see any point in holding back interviews from you guys. So if you're suffering right now and you need to be hearing someone's story, then it's my job to get that story out there. But if I don't have the interviews until January, I don't know if I'm going to keep coming back here every week to bore you with the details of my life and the books I'm reading, but maybe I will. Just don't listen to them if you're here waiting for an interview. I understand interviews are coming and I'm excited for it, but don't hate me if I don't have the interviews for you this month, because, you know, it's the holidays. I of course get really excited to do something like interviews when everyone is burrowing into a crazy zone of Christmas cookies and scented candles and wrapping presents. And I'm like, hey guys, let's talk about postpartum depression and do interviews. So we'll see what happens. But if you're sitting around thinking you want to share your story, then you should share your story. Okay, so last thing I want to talk about today is meditation. And I've been reading this book called When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. I hope I pronounced that right. And Pema Chodron is a Buddhist nun. And this is my second book I've read of hers, and I love her. Like, I just want to sit at her knee and listen to her talk all day. And she also has, a lot of her lectures have been recorded. And my old therapist, I haven't been in therapy for a few months, but my old therapist actually, for last year, for Christmas, gave me, or the new year, she likes to give presents to start the new year to set the tone for therapy. And she gave me some of Pema's, Chodron's recordings. So I've heard her lectures before reading her books, which is cool because I can hear her voice in my head as I'm reading it. It's a very soothing voice. And I found the book to be very inspiring. And I feel like I could do 18 episodes on this book and on postpartum depression. And I'm sitting with the book at my kitchen table, which is covered in Hostess cupcake goo. And I was trying to like pull out all the quotes I wanted to share. And there's just too many. Like, I made it to page 33 of 146 page book and was like, shit, this is going to take me hours. So I just saved a few points to share a few, and I will put it in the show notes, which will be at ppdadventures.com if you want to read this book. There's so many books out there that are not written for postpartum depression at all, or they're not written even in terms of mental health or for motherhood or for women specifically, and yet they resonate with me so deeply. And I feel really, I haven't always felt grateful for postpartum depression. I certainly did not feel grateful for it when I was suicidal or when I was being hospitalized or those first weeks. But since I've come through the darkness and seen how much I've grown as a person, I have been grateful for postpartum depression. And now I'm grateful for it because it started me on this journey, which has brought me to a place that's far more spiritual than I've ever been in my entire life. Gosh, I don't know where to start with talking about this. My mom is Jewish. My dad was Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 12 or 11 and a half years, technically. And I was baptized when I was like 7 or 8, like a month before my first communion in second grade. And, you know, Catholicism just hasn't worked for me. I think a lot of it had to do with who my teachers were, who the priests were at my school at different times. It never lit me up. And I don't want to have this be the Catholic bashing episode, because I've seen Catholicism work for so many people in my life, and, you know, and people from different parts of my life, like people who don't, it's not like, oh, I know these 10 people and they all know each other and Catholicism has done good things for them. It's like, no, there's this group of people, and then over there, there's that group of people, and then over there. So like, I don't want this to be like me bashing one religion over another. And I think there are some things that I have learned from Catholicism that I could talk about. Like, I don't know. I'm at this point in my life where I'm figuring things out spiritually and just coming to different styles and ideas, and it's a lot about what resonates with me at any given time, which it depends a lot on who the teacher is, who the writer is, and what their message is, and just what analogies they're using. And right now, Pema Chodron's really working for me. And, you know, maybe if I'd come to her 5 years ago, she wouldn't have worked for me at all. Or maybe 5 years from now, it'll have been like, okay, I've digested what she said, and she's not inspiring to me anymore. I mean, right now I'm reading it, and I'm like, I'm going to love these books for the rest of my life, and I'm going to read everything she's written and listen to all her recordings, and I'm going to be reading them multiple times. And I mean, that very well happen. Pride and Prejudice, ever since I read it, has been a book I have to read every year or two, because I just get so much out of the story and I love it, and I love the reading experience, and I love everything Jane Austen wrote. So maybe this is going to be like for me the Buddhist, my Buddhist teacher. I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to be a person who is just one religion. Like, okay, yes, it's Buddhism for the rest of my life. Does Buddhism even count as a religion? I don't know. I want to learn more about world religions. I want to explore all these philosophies. And this all comes from postpartum depression, awakening something in me that's curious and wants to understand things and wants to push things deeper. Because whenever I get to a point where it's like, okay, I think I've got my mental health in a good place, I find that the treadmill does not work. I can't get in a hamster wheel and be like, okay, this is good and this is the pace and let me just keep running in this way at this tempo and everything's good. It's like, no, I can't do the hamster wheel. I can't do the treadmill. I'm only happy if I'm on a journey, and it can't even be a journey on a road that I can see. It has to be a journey through a wilderness, not knowing which way I'm going, not knowing when I'm going to be at a meadow, not knowing when I'm going to be hitting mountains or streams or deserts. Like, it's just like, for me, happiness and mental health and fulfillment is in a journey through the unknown, through the wilderness. That's why I always come back to the word adventure. I need adventure. And it doesn't mean I have to be like living on my own in Siberia or, you know, I don't know. It doesn't mean I have to be doing something extreme to be hitting the adventure, but I do have to be learning and pushing myself further and further. And it's like, I think I've gotten my self-care thing pretty well under control, at least as much as I can right now in terms of this stage of motherhood. But now I'm ready for like a spiritual level. So that's where I am these days. Reading When Things Fall Apart, Hard Advice for Difficult Times by Pema Chodron. And I just got a few things I want to pull out for you before I end this episode. The book is a lot about fearlessly developing a compassionate attitude towards yourself and others. It's a lot about compassion and also uncertainty. It is a lot about the uncertainty of life and how we can get so trapped into doing things to create the illusion of security, but really, you're never secure. You may think you've done everything you can to make yourself secure, but, you know, bad shit can happen at any time, and good shit can happen at any time. Like, life is just not certain. Meh, but there's a lot about this book that's grabbed me. But the biggest thing right now is I've always had this love-hate relationship with meditation. You see, I mentioned meditation earlier, and I was coming back to it. I'm here now. So I've always had this idea that meditation is something that would be good for me, but I don't think I really understood it. And Pema Chodron describes meditation, it is as a tool for becoming more compassionate, not as a vacation from irritation. And that's, I think, been my struggle, because I've always thought meditation should be you sit down and no matter how adverse the circumstances, you are just zen and relaxed and totally stress-free. And that if you are a good meditator, you are able to like just silence all the noise in your head and just go quiet and do it for hours and have this transcendent experience. And I never could do that. It didn't matter if I lit a candle, if I sat on the floor, if I used one of my singing bowls, my Tibetan singing bowls, or if I was at a retreat, or if I was alone in the woods. It didn't matter what I did. I just could never go completely noise-free. And so I felt like I was bad at meditating, and what was the point? But Pema Chodron explained that we don't sit in meditation to become good meditators. We sit in meditation so that we'll be more awake in our lives. That thoughts are going to arise all the time. But meditating allows us to ventilate and get some space. It's something that lets us see what comes up. We're not trying to achieve a special state or transcend the sounds and movement of ordinary life. Rather, we're trying to relax more completely with our environment and appreciate the world around us and the ordinary truth that takes place in every moment. So it's not about tuning out the sound of traffic outside. It's just being present. So some advice that she gives for the actual mechanics of meditation is you're not supposed to try to repress or get rid of thoughts. You're actually just supposed to spend time with your thoughts And when you realize you're thinking, you just think, thinking. And you do this with a sense of humor. You're not berating yourself for thinking. You're just going, oh, I'm thinking, thinking. And then you return to the out-breath. She recommends paying very light attention to the out-breath, which is a challenge for me because if I'm paying attention to my out-breath, I also want to pay attention to the in-breath, but she suggests only the out-breath. So it's something I'm working on. But I don't think the point is to be you're doing it right or wrong. It's just like these are some tips to get the most out of the experience. You're supposed to have a flat seat, whether that's a chair or on the floor. And I know if you're on the floor, your legs are crossed. I usually am sitting on my bed or on the floor. And you keep an upright torso. You don't slouch. You have your hands open with your palms down. I like that. I feel like I've been to a lot of meditation, like yoga classes or places where there's a guided meditation, you know, over the past 20 years or, you know, since high school. And there was a lot where you're supposed to have the hands up. And I got very self-conscious about it. It just didn't feel comfortable. For some reason, hands open, palms down, resting on my thighs really works. And then her advice is to keep your eyes open and to have your eye gaze slightly downward and directed about 4 to 6 feet in front of you. And this, I've always been told, close your eyes. Now close your eyes. And it just either puts me to sleep or just a weird space where I don't feel relaxed. I almost just feel more like there's more screaming going on in my head. Not that there's really screaming, but you know what I mean? Like the eyes closed just never worked for me. And having the eyes open, it's just been like a revelation. Like, oh, my eyes are open and I'm looking downward and I'm going to think a lot. And I'm just going to go, huh, thinking. And then have like sometimes, and she writes so much in this book about how you can spend 3 years working to get that 1 second free from thoughts. And it's not that extreme. It's not, but I really do appreciate those 2 second bursts. Those moments where I'm taking a walk and I just silence all the chatter and then I'm back. And it's just a very compassionate, loving approach. And I wish I could like just read the book out loud to you. It'd probably violate how many copyright laws. But I love the book right now. And if any of you have been thinking about bringing some meditation into your life, go for it. I would totally suggest reading this book. And it had so much more going on about compassion and kindness and sense of humor and thinking about where the other person is coming from and not taking it personally. Before I had read earlier this year, The Four Agreements, and that's really, I love that book and I still highly recommend it. But this book, it's so interesting to me to see how things come from different traditions. And there's a lot of stuff I'm reading in Pema Chodron's book right now that I will often stop and say, like, oh, you know, Jesus did that in the Gospels. I mean, you know, 11 and a half years of Catholic school. And the point just never came across to me because it was a lot more about, like, what do I have to memorize for the test so I get an A in religion class because I don't want my GPA being brought down by religion. But now I can, like, I wrote many times in the book, like, oh, that's like when Jesus did XYZ. And I see all these parallels. And so that's where I meant like earlier in this episode saying like, I'm not trying to bash Catholicism or any one religion. It's just, I think so much comes with, you just, sometimes something clicks with you and it just, the way it's worded or the place you are in your life when you come to something else just doesn't work for you. Like maybe Catholicism would work for me really well right now, but I missed it because I got it when I was younger and I wasn't ready for it. And maybe I'm going to get back to it, but first I need to go through Buddhism and maybe some Taoism and maybe Islam. I don't know. I'm very curious about all these different philosophies and things about meaning of life. And I feel like a much better person this week. I had our dryer broke again and we have a brand new dryer. It's a month old. And the lint trap, I took the lint trap out, I cleaned the lint, I went to put it back in and it got jammed and it couldn't get back in there. And then I could see that there was like something kind of blocking the path. So I got a paintbrush out and I was trying to get it out, get it free. And I broke the fucking paintbrush and like a 2-inch chunk of wood just slid down into the bowels of my dryer. So then I pulled the dryer out from the wall and took off the big pipe and that like sends all the fumes out of the house. And I couldn't find, and I had my hand reaching up there, and I was trying to find, and that's like the broken chunk of paintbrush. And that's when I realized the do-it-yourself revolution maybe applies to knitting a scarf, but not fixing your dryer, at least not if you're Courtney Novak. So, you know, I called today. So, you know, and this happens like the Friday over Thanksgiving. I'm like, I'm not even going to try to set up an appointment. I called this morning. The kids are being chaos. They hate that I'm on the phone and not paying attention to them. And it took for, like, I had to call Sears three times. First time, the person just, like, accidentally disconnected me. The second time, they were like, oh, you need to call Whirlpool. And then I realized I don't have a freaking Whirlpool. So, like, they had my information down wrong. So then the third time, I finally got a guy who was able to help me and get everything done. And it took, like, 22 minutes, which it wasn't ideal. I didn't want to spend, you know, 22 minutes plus two other dropped, ruined calls to get an appointment scheduled, but I never got agitated. And I know it has a lot to do with the stuff I've been reading about Buddhism and the path I've been on. And it wasn't even, like, before it used to be about anxiety, but for me, getting, like, annoyed about this wouldn't have been anxiety. It would have been annoyance and, like, why me? And this is such a waste of my time. But it just, I feel better ventilated these days. It's only a few days of trying to meditate. And like today, I just meditated, quote unquote, before doing this episode, maybe 90 seconds. I just wasn't feeling it. But something about, and before I would have gotten angry at myself and be like, holy shit, why am I such a bad meditator? But instead I was like, not right now. Maybe tonight. Maybe we'll try again later. Maybe when I'm doing a shower. Maybe tomorrow when I'm getting my hair cut. Maybe later. It just wasn't happening right now. But Pema Chodron just writes with such grace and kindness. So please read this book. If anything I've said has touched on your curiosity, then go read the book, because it is all of 146 pages. Yeah, 146 pages, fast read, lots of short chapters. It's great for the moms out there or those of us who are just too busy. I'm not telling you to read like a 40-hour difficult tome. This is not a tome. These are a series of lectures that have been turned into short chapters in a book that I just know I'm going to keep coming back to again and again. All right, I can't wait to bring you some interviews in the next, hopefully, few weeks. I hope you are doing as well as you can. Please remember, you are not alone. Postpartum depression is such an incredibly lonely, isolating illness. Just over four years ago, I thought my life was over. I thought I had traded basically my soul in order to have my daughter and that I wasn't allowed to complain. And yet here I am now, a little over 4 years later. I have a podcast. I'm nearly done with my memoir. My life feels better than it ever has. And now I'm past the anxiety and past the guilt and working on meaning of life stuff. You don't need to be doing that yet. Please, please. You need to get through your postpartum depression. I just want to let you know that, like, there is a light at the tunnel, and you can get through this, and it can and will make you a better person. You did nothing to deserve this, and you can make a full recovery. All right, I love you, and I hope you have a good week.